Now we're up to well over 1,000, and we're expecting to have a big January again, because we are a reasonable approach to alternatives in the market. If you're in your audience, I'm sure you have a lot of self-employed people that have an EIN that are doing business that way, much like they would buy like a professional liability policy or any business insurance property casualty policy. Solo Health Collective is really a business insurance platform for their healthcare.
Hi, Tom. Welcome to the Corporate Escapee podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Happy to be here.
Glad you're here, because we were talking a little bit offline. One of the number one questions I get from folks still in corporate and even out of corporate is, what about benefits? What do I do with healthcare insurance? That and how do I sell?
Right.
And what do I do for benefits? You probably, well, maybe you could help me with the sales question, but I know you can help educate us a little bit on the healthcare side of things.
I would hope I can. I've been at this for quite a while. This is, I'm 62. I've been in this for 40 years.
And a fellow escapee. So
yes.
A little more of an OG this. So you're taking a little
proud
different.
Escapee.
And I love the way you said, I'm one foot in, one foot out for a long time, which we all know very, very well. And you've taken a slightly different path and actually building, I don't want to say a real company. It is a real company, where many of us are going the solo path to see how we can monetize. But so two things. One, thank you up front for taking on the healthcare challenge. It's, like I said, I've been out for almost 6 years, and we still don't have, well, now maybe we do have a good option, didn't have many options. And so I thought it made a lot of sense to have you come in, talk about what you're doing, and then maybe we can talk about maybe the future of healthcare and suggestions, all thing healthcare, basically. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's get to it.
All right. So maybe take a step back. Why don't you talk about Solo, what you guys are doing, who you're working with, and then we can take a little bit of a step back and say, how'd you get started?
There you go. I'll just start with Solo then. So Solo Health Collective, a health plan available nationally in all states, designed specifically for the self-employed business owner with no employees, with no W-2 employees. That is the prerequisite to getting on the plan is that each member, business owner, and their family members, you have to answer a brief medical history questionnaire, assuming no to all the medical history questions. It's not that lengthy. And then each business owner has to be a self-employed business owner. So you have to have an EIN to get on the plan. The key differentiator for your listeners really is, to keep it simple, is that this is not individual health insurance like what's on the ACA or Obamacare or even the off-of-marketplace exchange plans that are available to individuals throughout the country. This is really your audience members taking their business through the underwriting process to Solo Health Collective, where we underwrite the business. The plan is actually set up in the name of the business and the EIN number for the business.
Okay. Which is a change, right? Because again, I've never been too deep into how all of this works.
Right.
Right. I just know, we go high level. If you're in corporate for 25 years, you check the box and say, hey, this is how much you want to deduct, and this is what I'm going to get from coverage. Then we go through COBRA, right, once we leave. And then it's the big, bad world of healthcare. Yeah, so maybe, it kind of made sense what you said, but maybe we could break that down a little bit further from, because maybe part of the audience isn't going to care how sausage is made. But how did you figure out a way, I don't want to say a way around, is it fair to say a way around the traditional healthcare?
Well, it's not really a way around. It's really emulating what's available to, let me back up a little actually to answer the question, because you did mention you wanted to hear about my experience. So
yes, please.
Well, really quickly, I spent 25 years, close to 25 years, 24 and a half with Cigna Healthcare, one of the largest employee benefit carriers in the country, right? Cut my teeth there. I was working with them on the middle market, which was defined as, say, 300 employees to 5,000. And then I did a lot of national accounts work because my broker and consultant relationships were those relationships were strong enough where if those consultants had a national account size piece of business, I would be involved with the work there. I learned a lot from that experience. I learned a lot about how employers, Cigna being one of the leaders at the time, were doing measures-based health improvement as a way to take employers from where they were today with the health quotient of the population to putting in programs of all sorts, obesity management programs, stress management, musculoskeletal, you know, strong telehealth programs, but just helping to improve the overall health of the population would lead to lower insurance costs. So when I left Cigna, I partnered with them and I partnered with another major insurer to go down market and do smaller employers. So we were doing, say, 25 employees to 500. And then, you know, my company, Healthy Business Group, looking for the next place to focus our understanding of exactly how the business works, or our expertise, I should say. We saw, and just, I don't know who can't, and all of your listeners know this now, you know, there are 60 million people running around the country that are self-employed, whether they're freelancers, self-employed business owners, you know, they could be into videography, photography, you know, you name it, all sorts of types of businesses. And we looked at this and we found what is today the captive company that we work with, Vault Insurance Services. They are a captive insurance company. They created this plan and have it licensed in the state of North Carolina's captive division in the North Carolina insurance division. So we started doing, my company, HBG, started doing transactional work for them, where we built the front end transactional system for Vault. And realizing what it is that they were doing, we latched onto it and just said, listen, this could be a really phenomenal plan to make available more widely under a true brand. And we just started running with them in partnership on what became Solo Health Collective. So awesome. Now we're well over 1,000 businesses on plan. We started back in late 2024. We started much sooner than that, but we started bringing on businesses of one in late 24. Making the number up to a certain degree. I don't have the exact numbers, but I want to say in October of 24, we might have been 50 or 60 businesses on plan. And by January, with the open enrollment of 25, we were successful in bringing on roughly 400 businesses last January. Now we're up to well over 1,000, and we're expecting to have a big January again, because we are a reasonable approach to alternatives in the market. If you're in your audience, I'm sure you have a lot of self-employed people that have an EIN that are doing business that way, much like they would buy like a professional liability policy or any business insurance property casualty policy. Solo Health Collective is really a business insurance platform for their healthcare.
Interesting. No, and I love the path that you're going, right? Because even if it's 60 million now, I think just looking at projections, by 2028, some folks are saying, you know, 50% of the workforce is going to be solo businesses, right? So even if you're what we're used to be an employee will now become a contractor, at this market is going to be larger than, right, that the old corporate healthcare models. So it makes sense.
Yeah, we're seeing growth in it every day. And I speak to a lot of happy people, a lot of people that are happy that they've finally left the corporate world and they're doing things on their own, whether it's in a cooperative or truly on their own. And, you know, we're enjoying really making people understand that this type of business insurance is available to them. And if an employer can do it, or an employer of many can do it, why can't an employer of one do it?
Yeah, other than, right, the cost. I guess that was the way it used to be. But even some of the Blue Cross Blue Shield, just using them as an example, have gotten a little bit easier to do business with them individually, but I still view it as a necessary evil. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts around the cost of it, right? If you were an employer that was picking up part of your premiums, which they're starting to pick up less and less of those premiums, so more mm-hmm. burdens coming to you. But as I tell solos or potential solos, there's no really way around it. You just got to think about it from a cash flow perspective. Yeah. What do I need to bring in to just cover insurance? And again, doesn't prevent people from doing it for sure. But like I said, that's why I was excited when I met Clay and somebody from your team that you were working on this. And I'm like, awesome. You got to come on the podcast and talk about it.
So. Yeah. Happy to be here. So, you know, you're right. I mean, cost is one thing, right? And this is not just a solo problem. This is, if here we are in late October of 25, and if you're reading the newspapers, well, we know the government shut down, right? And we know a large portion of that problem. It's not all of it, but part of that issue is that one side, the Democrats, want to have this conversation about extending the subsidies that the Biden era subsidies that are at stake right now due to expire on 12/31. That's not the only problem, though. So there is a big problem in that the government stopping these subsidies is going to put a lot of people out of the market. I think, honestly, something needs to be done. There's got to be some type of compromise. There are some people we think as a company that are getting these subsidies that really shouldn't be getting the subsidies. And that's because of how the law was extended to folks making over 400% of the poverty line and this, you know, tying the maximum price that individual or family would have to pay to the second least expensive silver plan, if that's not confusing enough for you.
Right.
But it's crazy, but there are a lot of people getting large subsidies that perhaps don't really need it as much as the next guy. So we're hoping something happens here. So longer story shorter is there's a problem, right? The individuals seeking coverage, the small business owners have a problem, but it's also the large employers. If you were to Google right now, the large employer healthcare cost 2026, you're going to find evidence that the large employers are facing the largest increases they've faced in like the last 10 to 12 years, having somewhat to do with like the disease state of the country, right? Obesity rates are 40%. Now it's 37.5% just recently. I think it came out yesterday.
Crazy.
Thanks to the GLP-1s, right? The Ozempics and the Mounjaro drugs of the world that are out there now, really helping people to control their weight. Keep in mind, these drugs are expensive.
Yeah.
Right? Some of them are in excess of $1,000 a month. So a lot of employers are covering them. Many aren't. But part of the additional cost on employers right now happens to be that. And there's a new prevalence of, there's higher prevalence of cancer that we're seeing, especially in younger people now. So there's a lot of pressure on not just the large employers alone and not just small, but in total.
Total. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah, no worries. You see it. I mean, because again, one of the things that opened my eyes after leaving corporate was, one, I got time back, and two, I got my health back because I actually had time to focus on it, right? You eat better, you start exercising because you got the more flexibility and the time. And you're right, a lot of this is tied back to it. So again, we're not, you guys aren't going to solve the healthcare by yourselves overnight. So think about it from a potential escapee and looking, like I said, I highly encourage folks to check you out. And as you had said, you may not be the right fit for everybody as you grow. So explain what's your recommendation to folks?
Sure.
as they're exiting?
Absolutely. So my biggest recommendation and what everyone at my firm, Healthy Business Group, talks about is making sure you know what all of your options are, right? I mean, certainly Obamacare and the ACA are, you need to check there, right? You need to check, depending upon what happens with the subsidies, you need to check when we know what's going on here. I mean, open enrollment for most states starts just on Saturday, November 1st. Hopefully the states are open. Most of them are already. You can start checking them out, checking out where your rates will be. But I don't think anybody knows really what's going to end up happening. So number one, you want to check the ACA and you want to take your time this year because things may change. It might not be until second, third, even fourth week of November that if the changes are made to the subsidies, again, set to expire, if there's a compromise made, don't forget that each state, I read one state today, I forget which one it is, they have 200 employees at the Obamacare plan level that are going to have to go in and change all the rates of the dozens of carriers that they have under management. So it's going to take, it's not an overnight process. The government's not going to change the subsidies and the rates are going to be in the system tomorrow, maybe a couple of weeks. So you want to know exactly what your options are with the ACA. You want to look at what your options are off the marketplace, off the exchange. There's plenty of opportunity there as well with a little bit more in terms of options there. There's us, of course, Solo Health Collective. We're going to be a little different again, underwriting your business. You can go on hbgsolo.com and in really just a very short time period, call it 3 to 5 minutes, really 2 minutes to get your quote. We're going to ask your date of birth, your gender and residential zip code, and your demographic mix. If you want to add your spouse, if you want to add any dependent children, and then we're going to give you a rate for, and again, we like to keep it simple. So we have three plan designs at Solo. They only vary by their deductible. So they're all high deductible plans, three of them. We have a $2,500 deductible, a $5,000 deductible, and a $10,000 deductible plan. Again, nothing different about the plans except the deductible. All of the preventive care, and we are going to bug you. If you're a member of Solo Health Collective, we're going to bug you to get your preventive care taken care of because we cover it at 100%. We cover it under the same rules of the ACA so that people aren't confused. We're not an ACA compliant plan because we're not an ACA plan,
right.
But we do comply with those regulations to make sure that everybody's getting their preventive care. And again, that's part of your premium is paying 100% for those services, and we're going to bug you to get that care done. And then after that, for non-preventive care, the deductible, let's say you're in our $2,500 deductible plan, you get all your preventive care done, you have some services done, you pay out the $2,500 in deductible, our plan pays 100% after that $2,500. There's no co-insurance. So we chose to keep the plan design very simple. We didn't want to deal with deductibles. Oh, but what's your out-of-pocket? Your out-of-pocket is your deductible, $2,500, $5,000, or $10,000. And then if you're two or more people on the plan, if you have just your spouse covered, that's two times the deductible.
Okay.
And then multifamily, it's only two times the deductible. So a family of four can be on our $2,500 plan, and their maximum out-of-pocket is their deductible of $5,000, $2,500 times two. That's their maximum out-of-pocket as well. Then they're in the 100%. We have no annual maximum benefit. There is no lifetime benefit maximum. I would emphasize, this is not a sharing plan. While the name might fool you, Solo Health Collective, it's not one of these ministry sharing plans, which I would warn people to be very careful of. I'm not saying don't buy them. I'm saying that you should be very careful and know what you're getting yourself into to make sure that there are no loopholes if you're considering one of those types of plans or any of these short-term durational plans. Our plan, the way I like to explain it is it's like you've purchased a plan that a big employer would purchase. Call it Google, or the healthiest employer in America is buying the plan that has no annual maximums, no lifetime maxes. That's just like us. If we are here to cover a catastrophic event above and beyond your deductible, whether it's an accident because you're an athlete, or it's a sickness because you just got sick after you got onto our plan.
Interesting.
Those are the highlights.
Makes sense. And too, I guess maybe the follow-up question is network. Is there in-network and out-of-network? And my wife would be, her requirement is, look, I want the same coverage and I want to go to the doctors I like. And outside of that, she's flexible, but that doesn't give me a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. We do partner with MultiPlan, which is the largest PPO in the country.
Okay.
So the Vault Captive, which Solo Health Collective is part of, I should say that, Solo Health Collective, if you look at it as a kind of a component-driven build, we have Vault paying the claims, we've got Odyssey Reinsurance covering the reinsurance, we've got MultiPlan as the provider network, we've got Pharos RX as the PBM, the pharmacy benefit manager. All plans really have all these components, but you don't see those when you're talking about like Blue Cross, United Healthcare, or Cigna, because they're considered to be one, even though there are separate companies. They all have different PBMs. But ours is a collaborative effort with, again, MultiPlan, PHCS is the network. MultiPlan recently rebranded as Claritev, but
okay.
Most people in your audience are going to know them from the old name of MultiPlan. We operate on an open network basis. So you're not required to go in network. There's no difference between using the MultiPlan network and going outside that. So we do offer like an any willing provider approach where any provider willing to accept payment from Vault is eligible to be paid under the plan. And anything of large import, like if you have a larger bill, if you have a procedure done, we can do prior auths on those. So you make sure exactly if what's going to be covered, how much is going to be covered. So the provider and Vault can get together to negotiate that.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know in talking with your team just for a few minutes that the service is a high priority for you guys, right? And a differentiator, right? Because most healthcare companies, good luck getting to the right person to even talk about, right? It's everything's automated. And if you can't get it automated, good luck trying to find a human. And I know you guys have put some effort.
Yeah, that's not us. I come from a white glove concierge type of an approach. And we offer that to all Solo Health Collective members. If you think about it, the Solo Health Collective member is a self-employed business owner, meaning that he or she is the CEO of their company. And we'd extend white glove service. We'd extend it anyway. And across our entire book of business at Healthy Business Group, not just to Solo, but the whole idea with Solo is to differentiate with white glove service. While we're a young company, we're not a young company. Healthy Business Group has been in business for close to 15 years now. The product is new. It's, again, we're going through our second really renewal phase for January 1. So we partnered with Trustpilot for reviews, and they're pretty much the most, objective reviewer in the country. We're not allowed to offer incentives or anything to get reviews. So it's a site that we can just point people to and they can give their own review. We've got, I think as of today, 26 reviews, and they're all quite strong. There's one negative review, and that is around someone just being upset that they couldn't get through the medical history questionnaire. And that leads me to bring it up, bring this part of it up to say, you know, again, we're not going to be for everybody, because what Solo allows us to do is to underwrite your business's healthcare needs. And really, you're in essence getting on a self-insured plan for your business. So you're basically buying a self-insured business insurance contract based on your business and what the likely claims are. By answering the medical history questionnaire, we know there's nothing major coming. So we can set a rate for you that is more likened to what your actual utilization is going to be. And you're not necessarily subsidizing other less healthy people in a pool. So
interesting. Okay.
We're not going to be for everybody. Our rates are age rated. So older people like myself, I'm 62 years old. I'm going to have a much higher rate than a 35-year-old that might do the same thing I do. Okay. So we're not going to be for everybody, but by and large, if folks compare our rates with the options, whether it's the ACA or maybe even a group option somewhere else, if you compare total cost and plan design, generally speaking, we're going to be in the hunt where it's going to be worth your while. If you can't get through the medical questionnaire, then it's more than likely the ACA or one of these other options is probably best for you.
Got it. No, and again, I appreciate the simplicity. The older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, keep it simple, right? I mean, just dealing with current insurance now, it's, right, well, you haven't hit your deductible, your spouse hasn't hit it, and then that copay, and just trying to figure out what on earth I'm responsible for, or even thinking back. So the fact that you've simplified it, I'm on board with that, just because, and you know what you're responsible for, right? That's and I also think, too, as more, I don't know, maybe it's just me taking, you know, the health seriously, right? We're getting ourselves in better health, and hopefully with medical, you know, improvements, we literally could live to the age of 90 super healthy, right?
So it's a question of what does the future hold, right? And I think, you know, we all need to make sure we're trying to be as healthy as possible. And that's part of the plan at Solo. So one thing we haven't discussed is kind of what's in the future for Solo.
Yeah.
We had hoped to do this already this year. But we do expect to launch a program, a voluntary program for Solo members' consideration that would sort of be like a Solo plus plus, if you will, where members that are already Solo members will have an option of joining this new program yet to be named. But it's for the folks that are really into health and health improvement. Oh, as I mentioned,
sign me up.
Yeah, most of us are. You know, I'll give you an example. All the employees at my firm, we just went through either Function Health or Superpower, which both of those companies do extensive blood lab work twice a year. So I got my lab values on 90 different, I got my labs done for 90 different values, and I got the report. And, you know, I did it with Superpower. Others, as I mentioned, are doing it with one of their competitors. And we're going to choose, we may choose one, two, or three different companies to run with. But what we intend to do is have a certain cohort of Solo Health Collective members signing up for this approach where, you know, just as it relates to the lab values and what that can do for the future sustainability of a lower cost health insurance program. Just imagine if we, let's say we have 10,000 lives in Solo and 2,000 of those businesses join our PLUS program and they're willing to have these lab values done. Well, if you consent, Brett, let's say you're one of the members, if you consent to us taking your lab values on a de-identified basis, so without your personal information attached to it, but if I have a couple thousand people who have gone through Superpower or Function Health, and I have these 90 plus lab values, I can turn that into an underwriting opportunity where we can talk to our insurer, our stop-loss insurer, Odyssey Re in this case, but just to remain as competitive as possible. imagine what they can do with that data. A medical questionnaire is one thing, but real lab values and improvement on those values. So if I'm showing a baseline on 2,000 people, let's say in July of next year, and then I have everybody do it again in the late fall of the same year, and we're showing improvement like we're intending to, then an underwriter's all over that to say, okay, your healthcare costs are much more in control than the next guy. And we're going to offer you a healthcare cost that's going to be lower than the next guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah. No, sign me up for that one because I pay right now to do those biomarkers and it's not functional health. I forget who I ran it through. But yeah, same thing, right? Where you can go through your normal doctors, but they don't give you everything. And I like having, give me the full suite.
Right. Difference
Tell
here
me
is
where the, I'm at.
Yeah. The problem is for your audience, and this is a real problem. Your PCP just doesn't have time for you. Your PCP is getting, call it 20 lab values at the most. They might have somebody call you to say, hey, one of your lab values is abnormal. We should put you on a statin, right? That's what they're going to do. Well, this is a little different, right? Superpower Function Health, they're going to be all over you to understand what your numbers are and give you a concrete plan, try to keep you off the statin and give you a concrete plan to lower your risk so that you don't have to get on a drug because that's just the normal course. Hey, we'll start popping pills and you're going to get better. This is an approach that can make a remarkable change to overall total health in the population. And when I love talking about this because solo, because we're doing this for self-employed business owners one at a time, right? Each business is underwritten by itself in this self-insured medical program, but it rolls up to this notion of being a collective, right? And so if you think about our collective at 10,000 lives with 2,000 sort of super solos, my argument is that we will always have a better healthcare quotient, total health score as a group, have everyone take health risk assessments, stand that next to an employer of the same size. It's almost a guarantee that the health of our population is going to be better than that large employer because the large employer wasn't able to underwrite each business by itself and roll them up. It's a collective of individual businesses rather than 20,000 employees.
No, it makes sense. No, I love where you're going with that too. And yeah, and this is unrelated, but it's kind of similar because I'm not using it now, but like Concierge Health, right? I know some doctors that have gone basically independent and you pay, I don't know, they've got different models, I suppose. But I'm just wondering if we're going to see more of what you're doing, right? Getting collectives of like-minded people. In this case, it's solos, but and you could be solos and longevity, right? Folks that are part of it. And then you've got some concierge doctors, but you still need the networks for the what ifs that go wrong type of thing. But yeah,
There's fascinating. It's pretty open right now. You're going to see there's first of all, legislatively, there's room for change. There's legislation. There's two different bills being passed about right now, one in the Senate and one in the Congress for two different things. One is the Portable Benefits Bill, which, many of your corporate escapees might not be on this path because this is more the Portable Benefits Bill will benefit the gig worker who moves around from gig to gig. DoorDash, Uber. But I mean, there are a lot of these people that aren't transport businesses, but more, they might even be fractional CMOs, right? You might, might have a guy or gal working a fractional job for three different companies as a CMO. Each of those businesses with this portable benefits bill is going, the portable benefits bill, what it'll do is it'll give a safe harbor to the employer where if it's ever crossed in a lawsuit on the definition of an employee, that you have this independent contractor that you gave benefits to, the portable benefits bill will protect that business from that type of a lawsuit based on the grounds that they offered an allowance towards benefits for that individual. This is a really powerful bill. We're hoping it does happen, but the portable benefits bill might and hopefully will incent large companies who employ a lot of people that are in this 60 million population.
Yeah.
With this portable benefits wallet that'll say, hey, if I work here, here, and here, yeah, you're not giving me a benefit plan that I'm going to pay 20% for as a regular employee, but you might give me 3%, 5% here, 6% here, where all together it adds up to where maybe it's meaningful. The other bill, which is getting both of these bills are actively discussed. They're not, nothing's going on now, not just because of the government shutdown, but we've tried to find out what's going on both sides, and not a lot of discussion now, but that might be end of the year or whatever. But the other bill is on association health plans to allow, again, Obamacare changed a lot of this, but it kind of outlawed the association benefit plans. This association benefit plan bill will, you know, take the regulatory limitations off of organizations forming a health plan for associations. Now, you're not going to be able to start an association just to offer health insurance. So the rules would be, as stated right now, the association has to be in business for at least 2 years and not in the business of just providing health care. So a good example would be, we're partnered with the Freelancers Union. They've got 600,000 members. They used to offer a benefit plan pre-Obamacare with, I think they had like 20,000 members in it.
Okay.
But if this new bill passes, it's just going to free up a lot of new thinking about how we can address these 60 million people. And that'll allow for, I think, massive reductions in cost, because people are going to get more creative. There's going to be more competition out there. And obviously, competition is what breeds competitiveness.
Yeah. Bless you for that. I mean, for sure. Because again, we don't have enough folks in the escapee collective yet. But, you know, over time, if we keep growing, right, it would be nice to pull that power, the numbers together of folks that need benefits. All right, Tom, you've given me hope that the healthcare is one, you've taken the approach. So I highly encourage folks out there that are listening, go check out the link will be in the show notes. You can Google it to find that link. Just see, right? Knowledge is power. Go figure it out. And then two, I like where you're also heading with the longevity and starting to tie in the wellness into, right, in preventative, right? Again, some of us better late than never dialing into it, but so I appreciate, I know this is a Herculean task that you guys are undertaking to try to redefine it, but I appreciate, I'm speaking for a lot of us as solos that have been frustrated. Like I said, appreciate you taking
on
this challenge.
Bro. I've enjoyed being on the show, and I'm hoping everybody is able to make a good, sound decision about healthcare going forward.
Yeah, and keep us posted, right? I'll bring you back on. If there's updates and these bills go through or you see changes, anything that you guys are working on that's different, just ping me and we'll bring you back on. You can give us an update. Because like I said, this is one of the top two topics we get all the time. So anything that's going to benefit, or again, knowledge is power, that if there's some things that are changing, happy to bring you back on, let us know. And we can dive back in.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right, Tom, take care of yourself. Appreciate the time.
Bye-bye, Brett. Thanks.